Matt Harrison, Chris Rosebro, Aaron Wolf, Peter Bender, Todd Peppercorn, and Terry Mattingly will be speaking at the 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org. Every once in a while, they come out with something for kids that is new, and it's different, and sometimes it's better. It's better than something than maybe anything that's come along. And a lot of people believed that about the American Girl dolls. They were willing to go out and spend a lot of money for these customizable, historically accurate dolls that in a lot of ways harken back to the dolls of yesteryear. They taught lessons. They had a little book that went with them. I don't know all of the details because we never got our daughter one, but they were very popular and they still are somewhat popular, but something's changed about them. At least that's what Joy Pullman thinks. She is managing editor of The Federalist and author of a recent column titled Boy Doll Completes American Girls' Transformation into Bigger Barbie. Joy, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
So are you against the American Girl doll line having this boy doll included?
Oh, no. In fact, when I was a little girl playing with my own American Girl dolls, I did wonder, why isn't there a boy? You know, there's a whole line of girls and girl equipment. Well, I mean, girls are only half of the human race. You know, why is there no boy doll? So I think it's a great idea. You know, men and boys are a great part of the world. You know, they're fun to play with and so forth. What I really kind of object to, I've been following the American Girl line over the years since childhood. I'm kind of obsessed with them, actually. And the new boy doll is basically a bigger Ken doll for Barbie. And so that's a real departure for the company, which, as you mentioned, has focused on the historical, the beautiful, the elevating, you know, girls' play experiences and to channel that towards something higher and good.
This was not the kind of doll that you would take home like Barbie and throw 13 outfits on it and drive it around in its dune buggy, right?
Well, actually, they all have that for the American Girl line now. So I have a little girl who's 5, and so I started sneaking the catalogs in because I'm acquiring her. She doesn't know this. I'm acquiring her the historical collection that's been disbanded, you know, through careful searches. But the tenor of the boy is, again, more like a Ken doll. He's a rocker. He plays drums. He's got swoopy hair. His name is, you know, Logan Everett. So he's not really, it's a far cry from the original beginnings of the American Girl, which were, you know, historical period dolls with accurate, you know, reproduction clothing, which isn't to say they were stuffy. They were eminently playable. So I would have been way more interested in giving an heirloom doll to my little girl that she could play with. That was a historical figure that, you know, again, elevated and her ideas, expanded her universe, taught her something about the different ways that people have lived over the past, rather than just giving her essentially, you know, a doll form of contemporary culture.
So what's the difference, or how would you describe what had been the difference between Barbie and American Girl?
Yeah, well, I also, you know, I don't have anything necessarily against Barbie. I just think that American Girl has been better, you know. So dolls are a really great imaginative toy for boys and girls alike, you know, and I loved mine. You can do a lot of creative things for them. I spent lots of time making clothes, making food out of Play-Doh that I crafted and painted myself. It was really a creative experience, imaginative experience for me. But the difference, I think, really between the Barbie and the American Girl dolls is kind of, the American Girl allowed girls to enter into a different world that was different than theirs, whereas the Barbie is just, you know, it has more limited play experiences. So you can put on a flashy dress on either one of the dolls, but almost, you know, very rarely do little girls with a Barbie have the ability to learn so much, to expand and broaden their minds and souls, as they do have been with the American Girl dolls, which, as you mentioned, they include historical, you know, interesting fiction books that kind of help them see different periods in time in American history through the eyes of a little girl just like them. So that is, there's a lot more dimension to the American Girl collection than there is with the Barbie collection.
When did it change? I mean, when did it change from what it was to what it's become?
I actually think it really started changing very soon after the company founder. It's a small business that started in my home state, Wisconsin, Pleasant T. Rowland. She sold her company off to Mattel. And that actually happened really, I think, really soon after she started, because the American Girl line was such a big hit. About 13, so American Girl, I think, started in the late 80s, and then about 13 years later, at the end of the 90s, it was in Mattel's hands. And as you know, as folks I'm sure know, Mattel is the owner of the Barbie line, so they have over the years proceeded to kind of Barbify the American Girl collection.
What do you mean by that? What have they done that has Barbified the American Girl doll?
Well, they've taken it more into the contemporary scene. So, for example, one of the first things they did was announce a line of dolls that are just like me dolls. So rather than the experience of you entering another person's world, so getting you outside of your own self, outside of your own head, you know, reaching out, which is, it's actually an act of love, you know, to reach out from the self into the other. Rather, you know, they created a line of dolls that were kind of more inherently selfish. Oh, something that is self-referential, that refers to me, more narcissistic. So you could pick a doll that looked just like you, or you could customize, you could pick what color hair, what color eyes, what color skin, what shape of eyes, you know. And I'm not, again, necessarily against customizability, but that did take kind of the aim of the line, out of removing you from your own self and broadening, you know, your experience with the world, to then having everything kind of collapse into your preferences, your desires, you know, whatever is in the mind of you as a little girl. And I've been a little girl. I like little girls. But, you know, as we mature, we get less and less selfish, and dolls can either help that happen, or they can, you know, just return us onto ourselves and reinforce our natural selfishness.
You say that something that's kind of lost here is that history was kind of going on before the 20th and the 21st centuries. What's your point there?
And then another thing that Mattel did was basically retire a lot of the original dolls that the Pleasant Company started with. So I know the original dolls had a Revolutionary War period doll. They had a Civil War period doll. They had a turn of the century Victorian doll and a World War II doll. So kind of spanning a broad swath of American history. And they gradually began retiring all those dolls and replacing them with dolls almost all of their historical dolls available nowadays are from only the 20th century. So the difference between them is basically in the decades. The funny thing about that is actually the exact same thing has happened in kids' American history, what they're learning in school. Teachers have been focusing much more on the 20th century and their presentation of history to girls. So not only are kids not getting that exposure to broader aspects of human history and American history, with their dolls, they're not getting it in school either. So it's just gradually being lost from our culture.
You have a quote from the New York Times where it says, "The company remains committed to its historical characters, and the company has introduced more historical figures in the last decade than any other time in the company's history." But you say that is a dodge. Why?
Well, it's just because of what I said. So when they say historical characters, they're referring to the recent historical characters, the ones from the 20th century, but all the ones, you know, before then are the ones that have been gradually disappearing. And here's the thing, you know, I don't have anything against recent history. I want my daughters to learn all about the 20th century. I want my sons to learn all about it. That's all well and good, but I don't want them to learn about more recent history at the expense of older history. Human beings have, thousands of years, history. And if you learn more about that, it really helps broaden your perspective on what people are like, what is human nature, what is the nature of our world. And it gets you kind of out of the narrow myopic view that you would have if your education and your experiences in life are focused all on the present. And so that kind of trend in the American and doll, again, it's something that's happening as well in the broader culture. But I just know, I know from not only research but just experience that the less that we learn about epochs that are different from our own, the less that we have available to be able to think critically, to be able to make good decisions about where we are now, we have a harder time kind of getting our heads out of the present, and that hampers our ability to make good decisions and really have a broad base of knowledge.
What do you make of their marketing strategy, Mattel's marketing strategy for American Girl doll, to, as you say, take it down market?
One of the other things that Mattel has done, and so the company has faced declining sales over the past couple of years, and not only just Mattel more broadly, but also the American Girl line, the sales have been flat or declining over at least the past 5 years. So in order to compensate for this, the company has decided it just recently inked a deal with Toys R Us to allow some of the American Girl dolls to appear in select Toys R Us stores. Before this, I mean, I remember when I was a child, American Girl was only available for a part of my childhood by catalog online or at the company's own store in Wisconsin. Then they began gradually opening a number of select outlets across the country. So I think there is about a dozen to 20, you know, specifically American Girl retail outlets. So that was part of its brand. It's an expensive doll, I think. You know, right now it's $115. When I was a little girl, it was about $85. In both cases, that's a lot of money to chuck out for, you know, a plastic doll. So it's kind of a serious purchase for a family, unless you're a lot richer than we are. So Mattel kind of trying to go down market to make itself less exclusive, I think, is actually in the long run likely to be counterproductive. We've seen other brands do that, you know, like the Gloria Steinem jeans, Guess. There's been a little bit that with Lanzin, but I think they've been able to kind of recover from that in recent years. But usually when you make, make your product available more easily to more people, they see it as less valuable.
So why does this matter, Joy? I mean, you talk about dolls being a representation of ourselves. Why does it matter?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny question, right? Because a doll can seem like a really trivial thing. And I guess I had to kind of talk myself into why it matters so much to me, you know, a grown mother of four kids, that I really had a lot to say about this silly decision by some, you know, doll company. But a doll is a representation of yourself when you play with it as a child. Even as an adult, there's a lot of grown-ups who collect them, and they have intrinsic meaning. And I don't think all of that is frivolous. I know from a little girl playing as a child, it uses that imaginative play. And what it basically lets you do is try out different scenarios. What you are able to do is take what's inside your mind and transfer it to the doll. And again, it's kind of like, it's like daydreaming. And not only research, but I just think human experience suggests that when you have that imaginative play, it's really good for your soul. It helps you think through right and wrong. It helps expose you to new ideas and helps you sift them in a really, in a safe way, right? A doll isn't going to smack you on the nose like your brother. It's not going to maybe introduce a scary plot point like a TV show might. It's a real safe place to work out ideas, just like fiction is. And so the way that we play with our dolls and the way that we dress them reflects, is kind of a mirror of ourselves, but it's also an avenue for expanding our minds and our ideas and our interests. And it's sad to me to see that kind of broad window being narrowed down into something less than it used to be.
Why is it important that you pass on that experience that you had as a little girl to your daughter?
Well, that's something that I'm still trying to work out. So I have a little girl. She is a lot different than me. She's 5 years old. So I was thinking about giving her first American Girl doll for Christmas. We decided we'd wait till she's six. She's still with the baby dolls. So obviously it seems like a trivial decision. I mean, in my head, I say to myself, you know, this is so dumb. Why do you even care? But it really does actually matter to me, and I have to acknowledge that. So I play with my dolls as a child a lot differently than my little girl does. She is she's more feminine than I am. She's more motherly, so she has no shame about being a mommy to her baby, and she does with her baby doll all the things that she sees me and other mothers doing with our children. But So some of my background is in early childhood and education research, so I know from that sort of imaginative play is really healthy for a child's development, because she's imagining herself as a future mother. She's saying, you know, she's trying to work out to herself what it means to be a girl, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be human, and her dolly is helping her do that. So I had two American girls when I was little, and it was a big financial sacrifice for my parents to give them to me. And they really mattered a lot to me, and it's really hard to kind of put that into words, but I know that I feel it, and that's what really compels me, you know, to say, and it's going to be a big morning on that Christmas, this next Christmas, when I get to give her the same box that I got as a little girl, and she opens it, and I just can't wait to see the look on her face, and then what she does with her doll over the rest of her girlhood.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist, author of a recent column titled Boy Doll Completes America Girl's Transformation into Bigger Barbie. You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Joy, thank you very much for being our guest.
Oh, thanks.
We're going to be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week on the other side of the break. That means we're going to play four sound bites for you. We've got them assembled. You'll hear them in their entirety. And after you've listened to them, all we ask that you do is give us a call, send us an email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page and register your vote for one of them to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We need to know who you are, where you listen, and why you're voting for the soundbite you're voting for. So stay tuned to hear the four soundbites in this week's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Our call-in number for your votes, 1-877-623-6943. Send us that email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org. A tweet at IssuesETC or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week is next.
Dr. Anthony Eslin will be speaking on the topic of imagination and education at the second annual Wittenberg Academy Family Retreat, which will be held at Camp Okoboji in Milford, Iowa on April 27th through the 29th, 2017. Join us and be immersed in God's Word, thoughtful discussions, and family fun. For more information or to register, visit www.wittenbergacademy.org and click on the registration tab.
Emmanuel means God with us. God is with us at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School at 1285 Main Street in Hamilton, Ohio, near Cincinnati. God is with us as we gather on Sunday at 8 and 10:45 a.m. for divine service. God with us in his word of forgiveness, with us in the waters of baptism, with us in the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion, with us in the classrooms of our school and childcare, serving children from age 3 to 8th grade. Join us for worship or enroll your child in our Christ-centered day school. Find us at emmanuelhamilton.com.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas, Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas, and Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.